Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for accommodating my schedule, I believe this was, because I was, I've been on the road yesterday and today, but a little easier timing, so I appreciate your flexibility.
This is Doug. Before we go a lot further, I'd like to congratulate Rich on picking up a neat $44,000.
Thank you, Doug.
$44,000 for doing nothing but being on the ball, so thank you for that.
You're welcome. We actually sold some more bonds yesterday, and the total's up to about $300,000 now. So.
Wow. Okay. We'll celebrate.
Okay. Well, let's move into the agenda, and we have the minutes from the August 5th meeting.
I would approve the adoption of those minutes from August 5th.
Okay. I'll second that. Any discussion on it? Okay, all in favor?
I vote
aye. This is Matt. Aye.
Okay. This is Brad. Aye.
I vote yes. Aye.
Okay. Thank you. The minutes are approved. Then we're on to the loans. We have a much smaller number of loans this time around.
Looks like four. I'll move the adoption of those four loans.
Just for formality, these are approved, Tom, for proper public service purpose?
Yes, they have.
Okay. I'll second the motion to approve the loans. Is there any discussion regarding these? Okay, hearing none then, I'll call the vote. All in favor of approving the loans, say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Matt.
Aye, Brad. Okay. Then, moving into, I'm flipping pages. We have no old business, the new business. We have discussed common school fund revenue and unclaimed property reports on, who'd like to take the lead on this?
This is Matt for a second. I didn't put this on, but I think Doug actually asked it. I'm just wondering, obviously there's a lot to read there. I mean, I've looked through it, but I'd like a little time to go through it. I just don't want the staff to read, you know, every item there, because obviously we can contact them individually. But I don't know if Doug or Tom want to take the lead in telling us a little bit about what this is.
Well, I've looked at it pretty carefully, but I would ask Tom whether he wants to summarize it before I make a couple comments. I'm not requesting that. I'm just trying to be polite.
I'd be happy to. This was a good opportunity to just take a quick snapshot as to what the inflows into the common school fund look like.
There's lots of scraping in the background. I can barely hear.
I'll try to speak louder here.
No, it's not you. It's the scraping. Someone's moving a microphone or something.
Oh, okay. This gave us a chance to take a quick snapshot look at what the inflows into the common school fund look like. And in a number of cases, the numbers are going down. In some cases, they're steady. And in some cases, we know the reasons. In some cases, we don't. One of the biggest takeaways from it is that the data that we get with the revenue is not sufficient, really, for us to be able to know for sure if we're getting all the money that should be going into the common school fund. I think that's one of the most important takeaways from it. The data that we get is kind of spotty, and we do the best we can to verify, but it's not enough to really tell the whole picture there.
Okay. Well, I think it's very, if I can comment, it's very good to see this detail. I think this is the first time I can remember that we've done this. And so I think it's very good, and I looked at it carefully, and Tom's summary, brief summary, is adequate. It just shows that some are going up and down, and the report explains some of them. For some of them, the report makes it clear why the change has taken place, change in law in one case, et cetera. So I think it's very interesting. It is troubling to me to see that there are some trends in a couple of the areas. The two that stuck out for me were the Commissioner of Insurance and the unclaimed property. Those are the two that seem to have mysteriously dropped off substantially. I could talk more about it, but I've got a couple of questions, but for now I'll give the other commissioners a chance to comment. No comment?
I don't have any specific questions. Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, I'll be real quick. I mean, I appreciate the staff putting this together. I'm a believer of more info, so I appreciate Secretary La Follette asking for this. I think we got to look into it more, and I think it's going to be on the three of us here to make sure that if we're supposed to be getting more money, we should be getting it. Obviously, we have, I think, hopefully one advantage by having, you know, the Attorney General on here that would have probably more resources if we needed to look into some of this. But, you know, some of these obviously are just changes. They must be, you know, flow fluctuations. But obviously some went down, you know, large, large numbers. And maybe there are good reasons. And, you know, obviously we got to look into it, though. But I think this is the beginning of a good snapshot of looking at this.
Well, I've got a question for you, Matt. How many staff members do you have?
Myself, zero.
There's nobody else employed by the Treasurer's Office?
No, just me.
I see. So the story I was told that you had hired...
I'm here. Go ahead.
Matt, did you hear my question?
I heard the story I was told was something, and that's all I heard.
I was told that you had hired three LTEs.
I don't have any staff.
Do you have any LTEs?
I do not have anybody currently working for me but myself.
Okay, so I wonder whether have you ever in the past? Because this involves the unclaimed property funding. That's why I'm curious.
No, I can tell you right now that nothing related to... I thought the unclaimed property funding one was one of the ones that was obviously most interesting, how it went from $36 million to $2 million, but even the numbers between the years seemed odd, to go from $10 million to $12 million to $20 million to $36 million. In some ways, they seem like they're just random numbers. So I think it's going to be important that we make sure that we work with DOR and making sure that they give us the correct amount every year, but I also found the numbers quite odd looking at... hold on.
Well, thank you for answering that question. Whoever told me that must have been mistaken, and I'm glad to have it clarified. Here's what I would like to do. I asked for this because I've been concerned, and as a long-time board member, I was, first of all, interested, and now I'm concerned. Here's my proposal. I would like to make the following motion. I make a motion to ask the Legislative Audit Bureau for performance audit to include, one, the activities involving fines and forfeitures from the Office of Commissioner of Insurance for the past 4 years. Two, the activity involving the unclaimed property program, all revenues and expenses for the program for the last 2 years to ensure that it's been administered in compliance with the state constitution, including an accounting of all the hours spent by the state treasurer and his staff and what activities these hours involved.
I think given the nature of the agenda item, I don't think we just have discussion listed. I don't think we can move forward with having a motion and a second or any vote on that. We're going to have to put that to another meeting so we can properly
I don't understand why that's the case. If we're discussing an item, we certainly can make a motion involving that information.
This is Matt. You just asked for the legislature us to ask for an audit. I mean, I think that's a large item. I mean, I don't care if you want to add something to the agenda, but I think it'd be better if you had it written out that we knew what we were voting on. I mean, you just literally formulated something very quick there. I'd like to know what we'd be voting on. So what the Attorney General just said, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Under the open records, the open meetings law, I believe we would have to notice, you'd have to put a notice that there's a potential motion. Doug, and I appreciate that it's flowing from the conversation we were just having, but I think we have to do that notice anyway. And I noticed at the beginning of this agenda item discussion that the treasurer noted he would like some time to examine these documents more carefully as well. So I think it's appropriate to continue the discussion on this for the next meeting, and we can put it on for a potential motion.
Okay, well, I'll respect your opinion. I would then request that this motion be on the next agenda, and I can forward it to Vicki to avoid having to repeat it all.
Perfect.
Thank you.
So any other discussion we want to have on this agenda item this meeting? Okay. Well, we'll be revisiting this one then at the next meeting, and Tom or Vicki, can we make a note of that so I don't forget that we'll repeat this item as old business for the next meeting?
Already noted.
Thank you. I knew it was, but just doing the formalities. Then we have item number 5, the proposed land bank purchase. This is a little complicated. Can you provide us an overview, please, Tom?
You bet. This was back in the winter time. We started talking with Gordon Connor. He was interested in selling some property that's contiguous to our property. We have a substantial block up in Forest County, but some of our lands up there were disconnected, and we have an 80-acre parcel that technically had no permanent legal access. And so the property that Gordon was proposing to sell to us would have provided that permanent legal access to that 80-acre parcel that currently does not have it. And the other 80 acres is close by and, again, contiguous to land that we own. And so this land does a couple things for us. It provides legal access, which increases the value of the parcel that does not currently have access. It provides a good road network so that we can get at some existing lands so that we can harvest some timber. The land itself has a good amount of high quality timber on it that we would expect to harvest in the next 7 years. In between the two parcels George was offering is an 80-acre parcel that's currently owned by the U.S. Forest Service, and they are proposing to exchange that parcel with us for some other scattered inholdings of ours, so that in essence, doing this transaction would make the exchange with the Forest Service even more valuable. So the transaction comes down to the fact that it's providing access, which increases the value of existing lands. It's adding timber, which is going to add timber revenue, and because of the way that it blocks with our current holdings, it increases our management efficiencies on both the expense and the revenue end.
How does this impact our balance of under land bank authority for selling for land that's sold versus purchased?
In terms of how much more we could buy before we would be up to the 77,845 acres that we started with?
Yeah.
I do not know the exact number, but we are well under it at this point in time.
Okay. We've got plenty of cap room here, okay?
We're nowhere close right now.
Well, this is Matt, and, you know, I guess first I'd say I had asked months ago, and I know I mentioned it to Tia, and I know I've made it clear in meetings, I don't support purchases. But I also always, I think the commissioners, myself, the Attorney General, and the Secretary of State, it'd be nice if we were knowing about these things before they're thrown on an agenda and we have to vote on them 3 days later. And this was noticed Friday, I believe, and then we didn't get the details till Monday. I'm out of town, but even if I were in town, it doesn't matter. I wanted to know about this. I looked at the dates that it was signed by Tia and John. John up in the Northwoods signed off on this in February, and Tia signed off on it in early May. And we're now August 19 here. I want to know about all purchases or sales in the works. I'd like to know so that the last time we had one of these, it was a sale. I know I worked against it then, and I was told, oh, we're not giving enough time. It's just not fair to the people. I mean, this, it's just craziness. And I put out a release today. I will not support this. We have no reason to buy new land. And I believe this is a terrible, terrible investment. If we put this $400,000 into other assets, and I know I think Tom told me we're going to try to start to make the 6% as we go towards the prudent investor standard, 6% of $400,000 is $24,000 a year. And in the 10 years that this is going to take to come to harvest, that means we can make $240,000. And then again, the next 10 years. But more importantly, we wouldn't be gobbling up a bunch of private land. We do not need to buy this. And there's, I mean, the whole point, and then Tom even said that they're trying to buy, get the parcel in a trade in the middle. If they got that from the Forest Service, that would then connect our other land. We wouldn't even need the land. So I'm just completely opposed to this. I don't support it, and I'll be voting no.
Does the, Tom, does the U.S. Forest Service land that could happen in that trade, does that take care of our permanent legal access?
It does not. The state treasurer is absolutely correct that that parcel is in between. But if you look at the map that's provided in the materials, that road that you're seeing is a private road. It's not a public road. So while it may provide the legal access, it doesn't provide the practical access.
The legal access, is it legal or not?
I'm sorry, say that one more time?
Well, is it a legal access? Because it would all be one continuous block then, would it not?
The road that we were referring to, it goes through the Gordon Connor property before it gets to the Forest Service property.
If you look at the map, you can see that after this purchase, then there'd be 240-acre pieces that would be between our two big chunks of land, and that would make it one solid block.
This is Matt. I don't support any of this, buying up all this land. So obviously, it's just a different opinion. But, I mean, I'd rather sell this than get those 240s to somebody else. I mean, we have no business buying all this land. I mean, I don't know if I'm the only one that's read, you know, Article 7 there. It just says to sell the land. And again, this, we have, on that 80 acres we currently own that's supposedly, you know, in the middle of nowhere there, supposedly there's only 33 acres of timbered land even that's good on it. I mean, seemingly we probably can get in there now. If it's Forest Service now, I'm assuming they allow us to get into it. I understand there isn't legal access. And I have made it clear to Tom and everyone that works at the office, I would only ever, you know, this type of sale would only make sense if we were selling all the land. In that, that's connected to it. There's no point to buy this land.
Hey, this is Doug. Matt, in all due respect, we know your position, and you've said it in enough.
I already said it.
So given that, I don't think we need more discussion. I'm not sure we had a motion. I will make a motion on this. It's good management of our land. It's what we've managed carefully for years, and I support the staff continuing to manage it well.
There was one question that the state treasurer had asked that we had not answered yet, and he had asked why now. And I had talked with the attorney general last week about this, that we had gotten a call from Gordon asking what the status of this was. When we started working on this transaction, we had anticipated bringing this to the board at an earlier but when the board chose to send purchases and sales earlier, Mr. Connor was advised that it didn't look like we were going to be going anywhere for a while with these type of things. Mr. Connor called back last week and said, look, I need to know. You know, I need an up or down on this. Are you going to do it or not? So that's why it was brought back at this particular point in time.
Okay, so I made a motion.
So I'll second the motion so we can continue the discussion. Then, you know, as I'm looking at this map, this route is our only way to get access to that that isolated 240-acre plot. Would there be a way, so if we just purchase one of the 80-acre parcels, we could get at it, but is Mr. Connor willing to sell it just 80 acres?
Well, this is Doug. I'm only a minor expert at land management, but he would never want to end up with an isolated 40 like that, so I'd put a 99% guess on he wants to sell them both or not.
I kind of presume so, but I wondered if that's
Mr.
Tom knows for sure.
I guess going back to the Forest Service thing, the middle stuff in the pink in the middle that we may be trying to get a trade for. If we traded for that, would that not connect the 240s that are up in the left there? Road or not, it would be all connected to our current land. There'd be a way to get to it one way or another. Correct?
It would have legal access, yes. It would require an additional road building to get in there for management.
But it would provide legal access, which would partially increase the value. I'm just saying, the purpose of buying all this land, I mean, obviously I'm going to be working, as obviously the Secretary of State knows, I'm going to be working to get rid of this because right now our funds that are stuck in land bank, we can't use for anything else. This is just a purchase of land from a private vendor that we do not need to buy. We do not need to buy this land. I don't know where in the Constitution it says to buy a bunch of timberland. Where does it say that?
Matt, I think we have a responsibility to make sure that the assets over which we have control remain valuable for the people we serve. So I think when we're talking about something that enhances the value of our current land, I think that is a legitimate thing for us to do constitutionally.
So we're buying 160 acres to increase the value of 80 acres. I mean, we don't know exactly what do we know exactly how much this other land is going to go up in value? We're putting out $400,000 that we know we can make money on in our bond portfolio and our loan portfolio that's going to be stuck there. Once we buy that land, it's stuck there. And who knows when we're going to be able to sell it again. And we're going to keep doing these timber harvests where we make no money. I'm ready to vote whenever you guys are. I'm a firm no. You guys decide what you want to do. You can always bring this up at another time. I mean, we've literally been given 3 days notice on that.
What's happening?
Well, I'm reading the materials further, and I understand the arguments that the treasurer is making, that once we bought the land, we have the land, but I can't imagine that. My guess is that the Secretary of State is correct, that Mr. Connor is not interested in selling one of these two parcels and leaving to hang on to the other one. I also don't think that it's practical for us to go build a road through the other section after we do the trade with the Forest Service.
I mean, have we even tried to sell that those 80 acres? I mean, I don't read anywhere that says we have to increase the value of our land before we sell it. I mean, I understand the logic behind this. This is one of the smaller purchases. This isn't that ridiculous one that they did at Iron Carney where they bought 3,000 acres. It was just a complete land grab. If this were to increase the value and then we were to be selling this land, the logic could be sound. I could understand the logic. But if we're not selling this land, what's the point of doing it? We can take the $400,000 and have Rich and them invest it, and we know we make 4%. The plan is to try to get 6%, and we can make that. We buy this land, we lock it up in more land, it's stuck there until we can sell it, which we don't seemingly have any interest in doing, which I do, but the previous boards have never wanted to sell the land seemingly.
What's the market like for selling land right now up north?
The market is improving, but it's still not it's still not really healthy is about the best way to put it. When the financial crisis occurred back in 2007, 2008, 2009, things had slowed down quite a bit. It's now picking up, but financing is still difficult, and so the number of players is not as big as it was years ago.
When you say this is land with harvestable timber on it, what kind of potential are we talking about? Has anybody made some estimates of just what the timber is worth?
I believe John Schwartzman had estimated that the next harvest would bring somewhere in the neighborhood of $130,000 to $160,000 in today's dollars.
In 9 or 10 years.
I believe that's in seven or eight years.
These are all estimates, and you know, once that's harvested, then it's another 10 or 15 year cycle. Then we sit on it again, where it just doesn't create any money. I mean, I fundamentally disagree with all this land. I mean, I what the Attorney General said earlier, I don't disagree. We have a duty to make sure we're making good money in investments. That's the whole point of all this. But my point is, when we buy land, I just fundamentally don't believe it. And obviously the Secretary of State's probably rolling his eyes there, because I've said it again. We are not supposed to be buying land. If we bought these two little red dots that they have on our page today, and we were therefore going to sell all of our land, therefore increasing the value of the random isolated 80, well, that might make sense. But if we're just buying it to buy it, what's the point?
I don't think that's accurate, that we're buying it just to buy it. We're buying it to create access to current land.
But the access only, you know, they have access to it. They can get it. They can timber on the 33, that's all Forest Service land. We can get to that land right now. The roads that are there, I'm sure they can get there. There's easements, there's agreements. My point is, when I met with Rich about this and Tom about this, they said it's to unlock the potential value of that 80. Not on this exact parcel that we're talking about, but on other parcels. And so to unlock the 80 acres of land that's supposedly isolated, we would have better access to it, okay? So that basically that 80 might be worth more money, okay? But that's only assuming we're going to sell it. It's only worth more money if we're selling. If we're not selling it, it's not really worth anything. We don't have an exact price of what it's worth.
When talking about the unlocking the value of the property, Matt, you are correct when you say that you're not getting the cash for it today. But what you are doing is you are unlocking the value for that property for the day that you do sell it. If you do not get access ahead of time and you try to sell that property without legal access, you will get a discounted price for it. That is a fact. That is the way things work in real estate. And so...
But if we got the middle 80, wouldn't we have legal access?
If we got the middle 80, but the fact is at this point in time, that exchange has not gone through.
Well, we could also just buy it from them. We could buy it from the Forest Service. At least we're buying from another government entity then. I'm sure we could get that 80 in the middle. Instead, we're buying 160. Now, I don't really support anybody, but I'm saying the logic is the middle one would connect them both. And the same thing that the Attorney General said, as well as Secretary of State, that bottom one, that 80 on the left, that one would give us access. I mean, and I understand to the point of the homeowners or the owner is not going to want to sell just two of their holdings. And then the other thing is all this white stuff on the top. Who owns that? Would the owner of that want to buy our random 80?
I do not know if someone would pay full value for our landlocked 80 up there. But because of the fact that it does not have legal access at the present time, we had not put that on the market.
I mean, you know, the other thing is, you guys are buying 160 to give 80 acres legal access. This isn't like we're trying to, we have 1,000 acres for 1,500 acres that don't have, that are lacking in legal access, and then we can buy a little bit of land to give it legal access. I mean, that's not, and there's only 33 acres of good timber land you said on that. I mean, I don't know. I'll do whatever you guys want to do. I'm voting no, but I think we could also just put it on next agenda or the following one, but I don't feel like we have to keep talking about it.
Okay. Well, the rush then for us, Tom, is that if we don't buy it, then Mr. Connor will look for another buyer?
Right. Mr. Connor had said that he needs to know up or down what we're doing on this because he needs to make other plans. So.
Now, it seems that in terms of road access, somebody wanting to get to the more western 80 acres would have to drive across part of our land. The land that Mr. Connor has is kind of, in terms of road access, is landlocked too, right?
Well, both of his parcels. We've got both of his parcels, the land on both sides. If that's for the road, we've got it on the top section for the right one and then on the bottom for the right one. And then the bottom circle, you have to go through ours to get at it completely.
It is true that you have to cross our property on those private roads to get to his. Because of the fact that BCPL has generally allowed public access onto our roads, private landowners have used that, to manage their property.
Does that access include bringing, if you wanted to lodge his property, would that include bringing through logging trucks and things?
Our general point of view is that we do allow logging trucks. The only times that we step in to put limits on it is if the roads are passing through wetlands or if the roads themselves have some type of fragility to them that they can't support that, then we may require that the logging occur during the frozen winter months or some other parameters like that on the limitation.
Okay. All right, I'm ready to vote. I'm compelled by the logic that it doesn't make sense to buy 160 acres to unlock 80. And so I have some concerns about making that whole purchase right now. And we may want to reconsider it. So right now, my vote right now would be no.
This is Doug. I think it's an opportunity. Mr. Connor is going to proceed, and we'll be stuck with that hole in the middle of our land forever. I vote yes.
Matt, I'll vote no.
Okay. Then we can give Mr. Connor the answer. And number six, discuss interim investment strategies while transitioning to prudent investor standards. That sounds like something Tom would talk about.
One of the things that the state treasurer had asked about last time is he was concerned that we had bought some bonds and that that would make it more difficult for us as we transition to the prudent investor standard. I just want to talk a little bit about how this implementation is going to go about. The governor did sign the bill last week, and the bill did contain the expansion of investment authority. And in that investment authority, it kind of sets out a roadmap on how to go about this. It talks about that the board should be considering factors such as the general economic conditions, the effect of inflation or deflation, and the role that each investment or course of action plays with the overall portfolio. It talks about looking at the expected total return and how management and investment decisions about an individual asset should not be made in isolation but rather in the context of the fund's portfolio as a whole. So what Rich and I will be doing in the coming weeks is putting together more materials for the board to look at as we start putting together the sideboards of how we implement this. Like I said a couple weeks ago, the folks at North Dakota had made this transition, and they were going to make some of their materials available to us as well. So we plan to pass those along to the board as well.
Okay. Does this create more? I realize this creates more opportunities for ways we can invest, but does it create more work for our investment team to do the due diligence on these investments?
Yes, it does.
How do we handle that? Is it something that you can manage, or?
Thank you for asking. At the present time, we're not asking for additional staff. At the present time, what we're doing is just identifying all the pieces that need to be taken into account to make this transition. At some future point in time, yeah, there may be a request, but at the present time, all we're looking at is helping create the documents and creating the information structure to help the board make the informed decisions that we need to make with the expanded investment authority.
Okay. And I suppose if an opportunity comes along that we just don't have the ability to do the due diligence, we aren't required to go down that path.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Anyone else have any other discussion on that issue? Thank you, Tom. We had, in between our meetings here, we did have one expense over $5,000 that I approved, and that related to an appraisal in anticipation of a sealed bid sale of some trust lands. I went ahead and approved that. It was $6,800. I'm advising the rest of the board, or commissioners, if you have any concerns, it's probably not the last time I'll face a decision like that in between meetings. Are there any concerns regarding that decision?
Okay. This is Matt. If it's for a sale, I support it completely.
Okay. We have an item relating to the hiring of a limited-term employee, forestry intern, and also in between meetings, I approved going forward with that. We've had two LTE positions that have left recently, and Tom was looking to replace that with one, and this was something necessary to completing the work they need to do to sell these lands. Tom, any other comments on that?
No, I mean, the main thing here is that in order for us to get the work done to do our timber sale this fall and to do the Mud Lake marking, we did need the personnel, and with the two LTEs leaving, it was going to place our ability to do that in jeopardy. So the LTE intern would make less than a regular LTE Forester, and hopefully that we'll get everything done then.
Felt it was important. We need to go forward with that marketing and that sale. And it seems reasonable that they need the extra help, given that we've lost two other positions recently. Any other discussion on that? Okay. Then number 9, future agenda items. Anyone have, other than those already discussed, about moving item number 4 and then adding a motion related to that at the next meeting? Is there any other new agenda items anyone wants to discuss now?
No, I guess you've clarified mine. I thank you.
Okay. And then, Tom, any additional report from you?
No, the main thing this week was the fact that the governor had signed the Senate Bill 209 with the Expanded Investment Authority, and we're now working at at putting some of those materials together for the board. So.
I was contacted over the course of the last week by a member of Joint Finance who was very complimentary about the work that Tom and Rich did in the process of the arena project. They were they were very appreciative of the effort you put in and the knowledge you brought to the table.
Well, thanks for passing the compliment along. It's nice to hear that.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Then I'll make the motion to adjourn.
With that, I'll second it.
All right. Then we will talk in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Take care.